Hey, this is a dark tangent, organizer of DEF CON. You're about to listen to some speeches from DEF CON 3, held July 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Tropicana Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1995. Now, the Tropicana has since been renovated. This speech and all speeches are copywritten, all rights reserved, the dark tangent, and DEF CON Communications. Permission is expressly granted, though, for educational, non-profit use. If you have any more questions about DEF CON, or want to send me some email about the copyright status, please email me at dt@defcon.org, or the website is www.defcon.org. Now, kick back, get ready for some good speeches, and thanks for supporting it.
I'd like to thank Zach for the use of his notebook, since there wasn't a printer available. Whoops. And I'd like to remember his password. There we go. First of all, before I start, I'd like to thank Dark Tangent. I don't know. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of unthanked hours. That's okay. Yeah, we don't need to thank Jeff. Never mind.
I control the volume.
Generally, when people speak of revolution, they talk about the armed overthrow of the government. That's not what I'm going to talk about today. There have been a number of power structures in the past and revolts from those power structures. The earlier power structures included the church, which evolved into the state and now is evolving into the corporation. Governmental revolutions we're very familiar with. Coups we're very familiar with. Generally, the way that works is the repressed feel repressed. They find people who are violent and willing to kill people for them, and those new violent people will oppress them for them. Works out for a while, doesn't work out in the long term, it seems. The same with religions. People leave religions and break off from mother churches because of injustices they feel, and they feel like they're being silenced. And after 100 years or so, a new repressive structure is in place. I don't want people to form institutions and bureaucracies to replace the old institutions and bureaucracies. I think institutions and bureaucracies are the problem. There's more threats to our liberties than mere governments. Governments do pose many threats to our liberties, but those are not the sole threats at all, and I think people are starting to realize that. People are starting to realize what the corporate threat indeed is. To expect our government or the ACLU or anyone to defend your rights, I think it's foolish. I think if you place your rights in the hands of someone else, you're giving them away. I don't encourage you to do that. What our rights are have been defined in a number of documents. Our Constitution, I think, was a very good document. I think it's outdated. I don't think it deals with a post-industrial information society at all. And so I think there needs to be some things added to it. Privacy was not an issue 200 years ago. It's definitely an issue now. I believe our founding fathers would have explicitly put that in our Constitution if they knew what the threat was. We have, I believe, the right to right to information, right to truthful information from our government, from our corporations, from people who lie to us. We have the right to disseminate that information. We have the right to privacy. One of the problems that's occurring now and the potential threats that I see is expanding, which is a very, very old threat, is the gap between the rich and the poor. And that's expanding because of the power of information accessibility. And the poor are having less and less access to that technology. It's more than giving them a computer. It's showing them how to use it. But I interviewed people for a job. I worked at a temp agency. I hired them for technical support at Microsoft. And I found that many people who had gone through trade schools or other schools, it didn't matter whether or not they went to school. What mattered is if they had a computer. They had 4 years of computer education. If they didn't own a computer, if they weren't troubleshooting their own hellish problems, they wouldn't find it. The access to technology is crucial. It's more important than to just have it in our schools. The right to associate. I know a lot of us here in this room have been intimidated, paranoid, because of our associations with our friends, the people we hang out with, the groups that we form to disseminate information. These are our rights. Some explicitly state in the Constitution to associate and to communicate our First Amendment rights, but I don't want to point to our Constitution for our rights. I don't think that's where our rights should be based from. I think it goes deeper than that. When asserting your rights, you must respect others' rights. If you don't respect others' rights, they won't respect yours. And I found universally, if you respect other people's rights, they will respect yours. And there's such a thing as kill file in real life. It's called disassociation. If someone gets on my nerves that much, if I hate them that much, I disassociate. It doesn't happen very often, but it occasionally is necessary. Defending these rights for any person or group, no matter how much you disagree with them, is important. This is why the ACLU defends neo-Nazis. They're not defending their positions, they're defending their speech, their right to it. Let's talk a little bit about the power structures that are a threat to our rights. And I'm going to start at the church, which is not as much of a power structure and a bureaucracy and doesn't have as much power as it once did, but I think it's definitely waning in power, but still is a factor. When I talk about power structures and bureaucracies, bear in mind that these page down badly. That these institutions have been useful in the past. There are some pluses to having government. It's nice to have roads. There's pluses to churches. It's nice to have a sense of community. There's pluses to corporations. There's some things you can't accomplish without a large amount of capital. These aren't all evil inherently, but all of these power structures always have their own self-interest in mind and will try to gain power at the expense of other people's power, personal power. As we disregard some of these systems, as we're going to do, the church we're disregarding, the state I think will be more and more disregarded, the corporation I hope will be more and more discarded as we come up with creative alternatives to these, we need to keep in mind the original purposes and the reasons why these were good ideas and why they were useful and make sure that whatever we replace them with or offset them with have these original purposes in mind. I have no love for the church, but I see a waning in spirituality because people are turned off by the church. We don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, to be cliche. All three of these powers are bureaucracies by nature. We as hackers learn to manipulate and exploit bureaucracies to bypass power structures, and we do this because they're inefficient, because they live by rules and regulations, and we're more flexible than that. We can get around things very well. Let me start off with the church. When I speak of the church, I'm going to speak of Christianity, not because that's the worst church out there, not because they're the most oppressive, merely because I live in America and that's pretty much the church here. Other religions have similar issues of control and often are much more medieval in their current viewpoint of what personal liberty should be. Islam, for instance, and their view of the role of women in the world is a very good example. The church as an organized power has had a lot of control. Science and knowledge have been repressed throughout history by the church. When it differed from church dogma, we've science has been put back a long ways and still is being put back by the dogma of the church and of the state, but especially the church. There's many obvious examples, and most of us now admit that we did indeed evolve and the Earth is not the center of the universe. Censorship is a trademark of the church, and this is where they have their most power currently. This is where their greatest threat is currently. Currently, they're expanding in power. They're getting more political. They're learning how to exploit the political system and becoming more with the state, especially with the new Republican rule. Not only censorship of opposing religions, keep on hitting page up instead of page down. Completely throws me off. Not only censorship of opposing beliefs, but more importantly, an attempt to keep everyone into adhering to their medieval morality, their sexual morality, how they think we should raise our children, which is, of course, in a Christian viewpoint. Their agenda seems obvious, the Christian right. And they state their short-term goals, and they generally seem very reasonable, much as our politicians state their short-term goals as a little bit more safety. They seem very reasonable. But the long-term trends and what their ultimate vision is terrifying. Not only is the church censored, but is also vigorously persecuted any who clash with their moralities, homosexuality, consensual bigamy, premarital sex, sex education, and contraception are all consensual activities which they condemn and do anything in their power to prevent. Their power is growing. Let me move to the more obvious threat to our power, which we feel, we fear, that scares us, which hence our justified paranoia comes from, which is the state. The government is arguably our current largest and most powerful bureaucracy. A more recent invention, but still established, still long established, is a repressive force. The state plays many important roles: maintenance and creation of infrastructure, defense, and public safety. I don't want to put forth that any of these institutions are useless. They're important, but there's many dangers and many threats that they pose. I'm going to go down through our government and hit the sub-bureaucracies which exist within it and specifically state the dangers that they pose. Let me talk a little bit about corruption first. A little example. Arizona State Legislature was bought off recently by gambling interests, except it was a sting operation, so they all got caught. It was very sad how cheaply they were bought off, $1,000 or $2,000. In Japan, the corrupt politicians have basements of gold. I'm just a little bit disappointed. The Secret Service, which was once an organization to prevent counterfeiting and protect our president, has dubiously taken on the task of persecuting hackers. By a creative work of legal manipulation, they now consider computer time theft as counterfeiting fraud. The original purpose was important. If counterfeiting is rampant, faith is lost in our currency. Their current role is expanding, ill-defined, and overlapping with other law enforcement agencies. You'll notice a lot of turf battles between all these agencies. I'm sure many of you have had a knock on the door, not by one governmental agency, but by five governmental agencies and some corporate types in there too. And I've heard of many busts where the corporations are the ones who are directing the law enforcement who don't know what this technology is. And that's scary. That's corporate law enforcement. I'll get into that in a bit. The BATF is another law enforcement child of the Treasury Department. I'm not going to get too much into the BATF. They're currently a media child that's getting a lot of press, which will go away pretty soon, and the general public will forget about that. And they're on trial, but their trial is turning into a political issue and rhetoric. And unfortunately, I think the real points of power abuse and arguably murder will be lost in the fray of political positioning by both parties. I think this is sad. The IRS. Their original purpose was to collect taxes. This occupation has been notoriously brutal throughout the ages, from serfdom on to now. This, the only debtor's prison in America is one which you owe money to the government. The IRS will put you in jail. Tax protesters I've met were very strongly involved in their community and not paying taxes because of the uses of their tax money. They didn't like nukes. An IRS audit is one of the most feared legal actions that can be taken. However, when the IRS was recently audited and failed miserably, their excuse was, well, we were never prepared to be audited. We just weren't set up this way. We weren't ready for that. The FBI and many of these institutions, and I think it's very useful if you're interested in this to go back at the origins of all these bureaucracies and look from whence they came, what corruption was originally in there and how that's expanded to institutional corruption. The FBI was headed by Hoover for a long, long time. Don't think too much more needs to be said about that. His evils are well documented. Wasn't taught about them in high school for some couple of paragraphs, I think, in my history book. Fascinating stuff, though. The DEA, this is a pet peeve of mine. The DEA is an arm of the government which persecutes individuals who attempt to use free market exchange to sell drugs the government does not approve. It is also a vehicle to control what you and I put in our bodies. The ultimate invasion of privacy. The FDA also does that. The drug policies in this country have created a violent black market criminal syndicate. With the criminalization of certain drugs, users are risking their lives when they put a synthetic drugs with possible dangerous impurities in their bodies. This isn't necessary. These drugs which they're taking, while they may not be good for them, don't need to be dangerous. They don't need to be deadly. You don't have to fear a fucked up chemist. You don't have to fear that. You shouldn't have to fear that. And frankly, I think if people want to poison themselves, that's their own business. I'm for legalizing suicide. That's part of freedom. Once you accept the idea that you need someone to protect you from yourself, then you've given up your rights. You've handed them over to someone else. If you don't trust yourself, anyways. I believe our drug laws constitute the most sweeping violation of our Constitution. To name a few, freedom of religion. Historically, many religions use drugs to distort their senses for religious purposes and spiritual purposes. Cruel and unusual punishment. The mandatory sentencing laws for nonviolent crimes are clogging our prisons for long periods of time. Those violent offenders that did not have mandatory sentences are being released early to make room for those prisoners. We have the highest incarceration rate of any country in the first world. And there goes the screensaver again. Unlawful search and seizure. People can have their houses, boats, cars, and money, everything taken away from you without a trial. They try your property. They try it under what we've adopted from the English from hundreds of years ago, the common law. More or less a loophole to allow them to steal from us or people they suspect or dislike. A number of people have been murdered in these raids, killed in their houses. Many people are fine with this and the cases where they weren't drug users and it was mistaken identity aren't publicized for some reason. No front page news. I guess the OJ trial is taking more precedence. The FDA is another bureaucracy in this government, largely funded by pharmaceuticals who pay to have the drugs brought to market through their lengthy drug testing program. The patents on these drugs, which could save you and my life, are causing the prices to be inflated, are potentially causing people to be denied access to the care. Natural remedies, prevention-based therapies, taking care of your body in the first place instead of when it's fixing, wanting drugs to fix it, prescribed drugs, government-approved drugs. If you take care of your body, it's not going to break, just like your car. If you never give your car a tune-up, it's going to break pretty hard. You're going to need some expensive remedies. But the current pharmaceutical industry doesn't make as much money from that. They make money from their 20-year-old monopolies called patents. And finally, the third power structure, the corporation. The corporation is very new. It's growing in power. There's many threats it poses to our liberties. I'll skip the pros for the corporation for a bit. I'm going to go over a few devices or threats that they pose to our economic safety, our physical safety, and our general rights. Internal security realizes if they know their job, that they'll lose more money to internal theft than to external theft. Most people don't know that corporate crime costs a lot more money than street crime. The 100,000 police officers on the street aren't dealing with that corporate crime. They're dealing with the person stealing money for their fix, or dealing with their money to feed their family, or to buy their new toy. Chain stores have internal security monitoring their employees for theft. One is always being watched, especially in Vegas. Sometimes I feel like the people working here at the casino are more paranoid than we are. If you've gone to the bar and asked for a drink and they apologize as they look nervously around and they explain how the cameras are going to click if you don't show them your ID. So you show them whatever ID you happen to have made up. At Microsoft, I did my time at Microsoft. I'm out now. Thank you. There are many cameras you could see on campus, over 100 cameras, many more than that. And then there are many cameras which you could not see. I think cameras people are starting to get used to. And when I see a camera, I don't mind too much. I understand that I'm being watched, and it's starting to get invisible. You walk into a convenience store, you're being watched. And they're generally for the employees, watching the employees for theft. But if you have a telephone at your job, if you're working a phone job, you're probably listened to. You're probably told this, that to enhance your performance, to increase your productivity, you'll be monitored and given feedback. There's no privacy at all within the corporation. And there's different layers of security. They're very paranoid there. They have people watching their watchers at Microsoft. The permanent employees, the permanent security were people you never saw. All the security you saw were the hired thugs. And I don't think that they ever saw the permanent security. They were in the rooms that no one saw, watching the cameras, watching the watchers. This will make you paranoid. You know, it's. I'm used to being paranoid about the government. I'm used to that. I think we all are. I think we're used to the threats that the government can pose to our privacy and our various liberties. But to start thinking about the corporation in the same light is scary. Those with large amounts of capital have the power of the law, especially in the little understood area of computers. One does not have to be right to file a lawsuit. I'll also warn you that there's no public defenders for civil lawsuits. And this is how the SPA works. The SPA is an organization that scares companies into paying them money, the BSA as well. In fact, I think is a good example, last year when the SPA speaker spoke here, there was more venom, there was more hate, there was more fear in the room than when the prosecuting attorney was here, when the person who prosecutes you guys was here, because he had different standards. He had his own agenda. We knew what she was doing. She was enforcing the law. He was a pawn too, but we didn't know to which ends he was. One important thing to realize here is that there's no constitution in a corporation. You don't have the right to free speech. That's insolence or insubordination. You don't have the right to bear arms. Most companies prohibit this. Maybe that's good. You don't have the right to privacy. Many companies require a urine sample and or psychological profiles. Can I have some water? Only the military-industrial complex, however, breaches your privacy to an extent where they require an otherwise illegal lie detector test, which is fine. Don't work for them is the answer to that. And that's the answer to many of these breaches, and I'll go over the answers and how to defend yourself near the end of this. I'm almost done with the corporation. But don't work for these companies. You have skills, you're marketable, all of you. If you're working at a job where they're draconian, where they're watching you, where you're uncomfortable, where they're invading your privacy, work somewhere else. This isn't about freeing everyone. This is about freeing yourself. The revolution is within the individual, not giving up your rights. The Constitution is used to govern the behavior of the government. It's used to say what our government can and cannot do. That's a very good idea. Without one, we'd probably be in a very bad space right now. But the corporations don't have that. They're not governed by the Constitution at all. They're governed by laws, but not the Constitution. The newly emerging private power structures are growing enormous amounts of power. The telephone company, as you know, has always had a large amount of power. And I think telephone security and corporate security for many of us is what starts the investigation, leads people being busted, is what oftentimes is the people knocking on your doors with a policeman behind them with a warrant that was obtained from information that the corporations gave them. The general public has no idea how closely, how much power there is here. The cellular phone, and this is just, the public is just vaguely starting to realize what the power of the cellular phone is. It's a wonderful device. You can call anywhere, anytime, wherever you are. Wonderful thing. But I hope the public, through the OJ trial, since that seems to be one of the main educational tools we're using these days through the media, that your physical location is being monitored every time you make a telephone call. There was a case in Seattle where an arsonist was pulled up as evidence, and they said, oh, you were here, 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 here. That matched all those arsons. That's nice. The telephone company, you realize, has access to all these records. I don't think they need a court order to investigate possible internal fraud or whatever agendas they may have. I could be wrong on that. If there's a lawyer in the house, please correct me. And that will be looked at if you're under suspicion of defrauding the telephone company. Data collection and privacy loss. Your information is a commodity. Everything about you is a commodity. Everything they can get to know about you is a commodity, because if they know who you are, what you like, they know what to sell you, and they can directly market to you. Your demographic profile, your buying habits, your television watching patterns. That's why ratings are so important and demographics on television shows. That's why MTV commercials are so appealing that even though I know that I'm being manipulated, I'm still entertained. I'll still watch them. I'll still enjoy it. These are all valuable information. Cross-referenced, these all paint an intimate view of yourself, destroying any semblance of privacy you may have. And bringing this a little bit into the present and into the future, the demographics of your NewsRC, the demographics of the website you hit, NewsRC terrifies me. You could learn a lot about me by the news groups I read, and I think that's true with everyone here, with everyone who reads news. The information is being sold every day as a commodity. The commercials are watching you. Limited warranties, another dubious practice. Have you ever had a warranty that says, well, we'll protect this for 15 days. If you meet X, Y, Z requirement, you didn't open the shrink wrap, and you have your receipt, and all of this. If you ever wanted to return a product and just didn't want to bother because of the warranty, the bottom of every warranty, it says something interesting. It says these rights may vary state to state. And you may have more rights which aren't covered here, which more or less means they're using the least common denominator. They're using the state's, various states' most restrictive, least coverage possible to strip you of any consumer rights you might have as from buying the product. I bet you don't know what your state warranties laws are. I don't. And if you're dissatisfied with your product and you don't return it, profit's still there. Company's just as happy as if you were satisfied for the most part. The entity of the international corporation has much power in its mobility. If faced with threats of local regulation, it's very mobile. It can shift production elsewhere. If someone in Maine complains that the chemicals are making them cough and wheeze and they're concerned about this, and it would cost $10 million to retrofit the factory to make it safe, it would make sense to increase production in the Indonesia factory. That makes economic sense. These are scary things, but the company is doing what the company should do for itself. It's looking out for its own interests, its economic interests. These are its priorities. If spotlights are put upon these things, if people realize the exploitation that goes on, perhaps people will buy the products less. And buying the products or not buying the products is your vote. That's how you change things. That's how you put companies out of business. The shareholders aren't looking at the factories and the condition. They're looking at the return of their stock. The lines between government law enforcement and corporate law and corporate investigations is growing thinner and thinner. Corporations cooperate with law enforcement and share information. The corporation is obviously more interested in protecting its own assets than the government's protecting its assets. The government has shown clear evidence by the corporation, there's pretty much no choice and they have to investigate. Or so would go a rationale for this ever-blurring line between corporate and governmental powers. For example, a number of months ago, a friend of mine got a visit by the Secret Service, and he got a call because apparently some people were calling his bulletin boards with illegitimate credit card numbers, which he didn't know a thing about, obviously. He's not responsible for the calls that were being made. And the Secret Service interviewed him and asked him lots of questions and wanted him to divulge his user list, and accused him of running a pirate bulletin board, of all things. And he didn't cooperate with them, but the Secret Service set up an interview for him at Microsoft because of this allegations of corporate software. He went to Microsoft. Microsoft interviewed him, and again, he was very uncooperative. More or less, he said, get a warrant, get something. His board's still down. He says he'll put it back up once the Secret Service stops calling him every week. That's sort of making him nervous for some reason. This interested me very much. I wanted to know what Microsoft was doing. I knew, had an idea of what the SPA was doing. I was very interested in what kind of pirate investigations were doing and how much companies really cared about bulletin boards as opposed to bootlegging. So I called him up internally and I said I wanted to talk to him. I said, I hear you've interviewed a friend of mine and I'd like to chat with you about it. And he was gracious enough to have me into his office. And if anyone wants a tape recording of this conversation, let me know. And he tried to pump me for information at the same time I was trying to pump him for information. I found out a couple of things. They're very interested in CD-ROM pirates, this sort of thing. But more interestingly, the next day I got a piece of email. That piece of email was from a friend of Gail Thackeray's. And it said that, Dead Addict, I've heard you have been interviewing some friends of mine. Give me a call. Never gave Gail my Microsoft email account. She didn't know that from me. Gave her a call. We chatted for a few minutes, a nice, friendly chat. Appreciated it. I appreciated her calling me. She didn't have to do that. What it showed me is that the Secret Service referred my friend to Microsoft. Microsoft gave a prosecuting attorney in Arizona, completely out of any jurisdiction, a call, and were fishing about some information for me. This is a web. This is a very close web. These lines are blurring very quickly. Temporary loyalty. An employer expects loyalty from you. I find it little wonder that a minimum wage Taco Bell employee bypasses their complex security and pockets money, bad working conditions, strict rules, low wages, and distrust of employees do not inspire loyalty. But even management has lost what once was their security. 20 years ago, there were permanent jobs. 20 years ago, you could look forward, although I don't know why anyone would do this, to working at a company for 20 years and getting a gold watch and a pension. In return for this, you gave them your loyalty. You looked out for their interests. You thought about them. You tried to do what was best for them in all ways. Well, what they once gave you, which was job security and a possible retirement, is now gone. People who think they're going to stay at a firm for 30 years are delusional. Every person for himself. IBM recently laid off for the first time ever about 5 years ago. And at first they were paying off their employees because they didn't want to do this. This isn't why they're evil. They have to do this to cope with quickly changing economical conditions, but what was expected of you, the employee, which is loyalty, in return for security, that contract is no longer valid. There is no security. Corporate media. When you get your news, you're getting it from a corporate bureaucracy. To offend their advertisers is to lose business. You notice a lot of business coverage every single night on the weekly news programs on CNN, all this stuff. Do you remember Ralph Nader a number of years ago had a television show? Do you see it on television anymore? Do you ever, you know, for me, the labor movement is something I never fully understood. I don't understand how it happened, why it occurred. I wasn't educated in this. And I'm not sure that labor unions, as we now know them, are useful in the future, but the interests of the worker is the interest of everyone, because everyone's a worker. And working conditions and whatnot, and the reasons why labor unions were formed, those conditions are returning, I say. Our work weeks are going up, we're getting paid less money. Again, currently television media are conglomerating more and more. Restrictions are being lifted upon monopolization of television stations, radio stations, and newspapers. GE, Westinghouse, these are military industrial complexes which your news originates. It's not the government that censors our media. There's censorship there. There's a lot of it. It's not our government. It's them. It's self-censorship, looking out for their own interests. I'm not against that. I think we should all do that. I think that's very important. But I think we should be aware of these threats and publicize them very greatly. I don't think the credibility would be there if people realized where their news is originating. I think credibility is a very big issue. And not to say that they're lying, but I say that much of what is being produced as news is irrelevant and distractions. Revolution. Now I'm done with my three power structures. Now I'm gonna go over what the hell to do about all this. Revolution is within yourself. It's freedom. It's declaring freedom from anyone who would deny it to you, any of the power structures. People are easy to deal with. No person can deny my liberty. They can attack me. I can run. If they hurt me, they'll do that. But after that, I'll never see them again. I'll avoid them. I'll disassociate. That's very powerful, that disassociation. You can do it with your companies. You cannot buy their products. You can do it with the media you receive. You can do it with the church entities. Disassociation is powerful. To become free, it may be necessary to break free from medieval morality, to break unjust laws, and perhaps be a disloyal employee. Some may call you a disloyal, sinful criminal. But to be in a room of slaves is demoralizing. If you're the only free man, if you're the only one that realizes that you have freedom, that's all it is, declaring it, doing it, realizing what's wrong, and not allowing people to tell you what to do. But it's no fun to be a free man in a room full of slaves. That's demoralizing. So it's necessary to free your fellow man and woman, to give him the tools, the knowledge to fight this, and not to infringe on other people's rights. I don't think the individual has much power to do that, however. I don't think, as hackers, we actually have a lot more power than most people. As hackers, I find it very interesting how much power we have, how scared people are, how we know what a social security number will do, how we know how we can destroy people and we don't do it. This is good. The most dangerous type of censorship is self-censorship. This is employed by the corporate media and politicians and the average citizen. For example, the Clinton campaign didn't mention the Iran-Contra fiasco, yet they hoped someone else would. It looked bad politically if they brought up such a hot topic. It looked like they were attacking him on a real issue. So they didn't. It was self-censorship. Many people don't voice their politically dangerous opinion that drugs should be legalized for fear of what it will do to them in the workplace or among their friends. For me, if there's an employer that has who doesn't want me working there for because of who I am and not because of my work, that's fine. I don't want to be working for them. I don't want that job. And they just lost a really good worker, too. Don't censor yourself. Don't fear that what you would have to say is too controversial. If you do this, if you be quiet about your viewpoints, they've already won. It's all over. Speaking out loudly, shining a spotlight on threats to freedom, works. Spotlight always makes the cockroaches scatter. The Christian Coalition, as a political church, is attempting to censor. They pressure television stations, legislations, national, state, and local. To disallow any materials dealing with sexuality or anything that they might consider immoral. They are organized. They have a purpose. They're using the political system to affect change. I'm not sure about the political system. It's up to you, I think, whether or not you want to believe in the political system or not. I have some real problems with it. To become the President of the United States, I think you have to be so squeaky clean you must have been preparing for it for your entire life. I don't trust that person. They want that power too much. There's much knowledge that is disallowed and hidden. Government activities, corporate crime, and illegitimate quote-unquote information needs to be disseminated. People without access to technology need it. People without education are ignorant, not stupid. And with these tools that empower all of us in this room, if everyone had access to those tools, many, many more people would have this freedom. There is much information that is disallowed, hidden. Government activities. Let me see. The best use, I think, of hacked accounts, my personal opinion, is to put stuff out on the net which shouldn't be there, which you would get in trouble for, but you believe would make the world a better place. For instance, if you came across some information about Area 51, I think everyone would like to know about it. And yet, I think it would be a bit of a mistake to post it from your own account. I think it would also be a mistake to use anonymous service. That's false security, which is very dangerous. That's hacked accounts are very good for that. One-time accounts, you put the information once, you don't use it again, you're invisible. When people are caught, it's for using systems for long periods of time, and it's for going through things that trace back to them. If you know how to be careful, and it's not that difficult, you can get information out there which couldn't have gotten out there before. Whistleblowers have, in the past, historically gotten into a lot of trouble, received a lot of flack, been killed. This protects you. But this being said, I don't think it's wise to post anonymous information that's criticizing media lies, governmental disinformation, or publicly available information about corporate or governmental or church corruption. You want to post this with your name on it. You're going to be proud of this. Post it publicly with pride and be able to back up your claims. This too is important. To hide behind anonymity and disseminating knowledge that's legal is giving up your First Amendment rights. It's saying, I refuse to put my name to this, I'm scared. And others will probably follow suit. And soon none of us will raise our voice in front of people, but only on computer networks where there's anonymity. I think the network is very important for disseminating information. This is obvious. Where the future is going is obvious. And these steps of putting forth information, of protecting your rights, of using the digital technology to say you have freedom and then enforce your own freedom and not count on any freedom, I think this has become possible with the technology. And I think if it isn't done, and your freedoms and your rights are not exercised, they will be lost de facto. If you're criticized for posting legitimate information, respond intelligently. If you're harassed for this, don't respond. Merely publicize and document the harassment. I think a wonderful example of this is the Church of Scientology letters to everyone who followed up to that thread. The church sent them a very nasty, nasty legal letter saying that if they didn't delete this from the entire network, they would sue them. If they agreed never to put anything out that was so-called property, that they would sue them. This is harassment. This is using the money as power. But in response for this, these individuals posted publicly to alt.censorship, alt.scientology, a couple other dozen places just to be safe, and it had the reverse effect. Instead of silencing them, it drew others to the cause. I think this is a wonderful example of the power of a spotlight. And I think that it's possible that the Church of Scientology will take a great fall for what they're trying to do. There will be a fight, but I'm glad the fight is being waged. I'm glad these people didn't respond meekly and say, "You're going to sue me? Well, okay, I won't say anything ever again. I'm sorry." That was a corporation. That wasn't the government telling them not to say this. PGP is a threat to power. In the United States and China, and in countries where the freedom of speech is infringed, PGP allows secure communications. We all know how important PGP is, but I believe using it is essential. This is very funny. Virtually everyone I know who's heard of PGP believes in it completely and religiously, yet for some reason very few people I know actually use it. Maybe it's just an interface issue, I'm not sure. Using it religiously, spreading the word, causing other non-technical people to use it and realize the importance of it, will protect private communications. And without that protection, that privacy will be gone. Protect yourself from people trying to invade your privacy. There's many ways people try to do this. We had a wonderful speaker who outlined some of these things. Give corporations disinformation when you can, and it's somewhat legitimate to do so. I misspell my name when I sent away for mailing lists and subscriptions and whatnot. All my subscriptions come to ELY, and I see very clearly who sells my name. It's very nice. It's very nice to keep track of that. Your privacy won't be handed down to you. You must diligently enforce it. Be aware of every piece of information you ever hand out. Economic freedom. You are independent. Don't depend on your employer for security. He can't give it to you. He may say he can give it to you, and he may want to give it to you, and he could have given it to you 20 years ago, but he can't give that to you. Consider yourself a consultant or an independent contractor, even if you have a full-time job. Realize that your job performance is necessary to keep this job because it's a temporary one, and that if you become invaluable, your contract may last longer. Make your hobby your job. I know a lot of people who have jobs they hate and have hobbies they're very good at and could make money at it. This is ridiculous. Most people spend most of their waking time working, 8 hours a day, sometimes 12 hours a day. If you don't like your job, you're spending most of your time doing something you hate. That's foolish. Keep your resume updated at all times. If you can, avoid the monetary system. I like this very much. Avoid dealing with cash. Instead, barter. Barter is wonderful. Barter is a way to get economic freedom. Barter works works really well. The way it works is I have something that I don't need that much, that's of marginal value to me, and you have something that I really want, that's of marginal value to you. We trade, you feel very happy, I feel very happy, I'm glad that I'm no longer storing that, essentially, and an ideal barter will leave both sides of the impression that they're taking advantage of the other person. It's very nice. Bartering will also bypass the IRS, which could be 20 to 40% of your income. I consider it theft, but that's okay. They can beat me up, so I'm not going to do anything about that theft currently. Access to information is a right you have. You need to know when the government is killing people, radiating them, listening to them, lying to them, lying to you. You have a right to gain access about our government. This government is supposedly of the people, by the people, power granted by social contract. The government has no absolute power. We grant them power. And it's by our consensus that they exist. I have a quote on the board there that says, the government is a hallucination in the minds of the governors. And it only works because the people believe it. It's your right to, corporate secrets are also your right to possess. This perhaps sounds shocking, yet you need to know when your environment is being poisoned. This could be your water. This could be the deadly chemicals on your food. When you're being manipulated by corporate PR machines, when they're downsizing, is a doublespeak for transporting jobs to third world countries. You have a right to know this. And I think, again, this is another invaluable use of hacking, is gaining information which is forbidden. And many people would like to see. And don't post it under your own account. Yeah, or through Finland. Else the Church of Scientology may be reading it. It's your right to access immoral information. It's your right to disseminate immoral information. Fuck, shit, cunt. You don't like it? That's okay. On the net, you can filter it. That's fine. In person, if that offends you too much, you can just quit speaking to me. If you let people stomp on these rights, if you let people filter what you hear, if you put up with any account, if you buy an internet provider that censors, you're supporting them. You're supporting that, and you're allowing yourself to be censored. Don't do this. To offend for the sake, others may find this distasteful, but they can filter. To offend for the sake of offending, however, will cause you to be ostracized by all, including other people who do the same thing, because people who say things to shock are generally looking for attention. And if you're shocking too, well then, you're competing with their attention, so. On the internet, you can't trust anything you see in a post. I like this. This is a feature. Someone makes a wild claim and there's no footnotes, there's no references, there's no source, and you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm sure I'm going to believe that. Claims without sources to back them up are generally discarded. This is new. This is very new. You learn to be suspicious. This too is good. It's healthy. Disinformation will be exposed because people with facts will respond to this. And they'll have sources to back them up. By initially distrusting information that crosses your path, you'll start to learn to distrust already accepted media. My editor was quoted in the New York Times recently. She was displeased that they misquoted her, but happily amused that they promoted her from assistant editor to editor. I trust these sources. Without first-hand information that the sources aren't to be completely trusted, or that you should take everything with a grain of salt, and if you really want to know the church truth, do some research. Because as we know about media's perception about hackers, and I'm sure if you have other areas of expertise where you're very strong in, you also realize how they don't know much about that either. They know how to write. They know how to write in columns. They know how to write in reverse pyramid style, so they can cut anything off that seems irrelevant. Health freedoms. You have the right to put whatever you deem appropriate into your body. If you want to put cyanide into your body, that's your right. If you poison yourself, you will suffer. Your own bad judgment, this is always the case, your own bad judgment is its own worst punishment. Don't trust propaganda concerning what is healthy and unhealthy. Research these things. Lies have been told, and lies told enough will be believed. This is civil disobedience. I don't consider it a crime. These are your rights. If you don't use them, they will be lost. The FDA was recently trying to prevent you from getting vitamins. That right almost went away. Freedom from the military-industrial complex. Not much you can do about that, not that I can see. Hacking this is dangerous. If you're gutsy enough to do it and find information that would be useful, yet not jeopardize national security, I suggest you do it. If it's useful, when they bring you to court and try you, you will be able to say, hey, this information needs to be out. If you're compromising national security, you're doomed. But lots and lots of bad, evil secrets have been justified as secrets under the guise of national security. This is how they keep secrets. Anything they don't want you to know is national security. It's in the best interest of the military and the supporting multinational military corporations to be in a state of war. That's in their best interest. Realize this. Also realize we're the largest arms dealer in the world. Think about that. Don't die for your country for oil. Avoid the draft if the war is immoral. Not many things have been morally justified as far as I'm concerned. If you're willing to die for it, that's okay. You can eat cyanide, too. That's your right as well. And be aware that if you do choose to enter the military-industrial complex, you will lose all your rights. It's very much like going to prison. You don't have the freedom of speech. You don't have many of these things that are taken for granted. You must follow orders. If you want to walk into a totalitarian society, join the army. One last point, the NRA is, of course, a public relations arm of gun manufacturers. In summation, I think your freedoms are your own responsibilities. I think to pawn these off onto other organizations or onto other people is risky, and you're throwing them away in many cases. Instead of waiting for laws to be passed and for society to accept you liking naked pictures, you should look at naked pictures and you should do what you feel is right. We all have morality inside of ourselves. This is true. Some of this material, this will be edited, this speech will be edited and will be on the net, and I have a few sources here concerning the media, concerning unreliable sources. A couple of books about the government and their black budget and whatnot. This will be posted on the net. Are there any questions? Thank you, by the way. I'm done. Does anyone have anything to scream at me?